Then he summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority. With these words, Jesus inaugurates the very mission of the first bishops of the church. And that mission is the very same mission that Jesus Christ himself has been teaching them from his first sermons, from his first miracles, his deliverances, and so on. That mission, which we will see later as Jesus prepares to ascend to heaven, is to, quote, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, up to this point, we have seen both in Mark's gospel, as we see today, as well as in the gospel of Matthew, which we've been hearing in our daily masses for a while, Christ healing the sick, he's forgiving sins, he's casting out demons, he's calming the seas, and he's performing lots of other miracles. And very often teaching the hard sayings. If Jesus wasn't commanding his apostles to speak and teach boldly the truth in love, then why would he say, quote, whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. Now notice he's not even just saying passively kind of walk away, just ignore them. If you can't make any headway, just sort of turn around and walk away. No, he's saying do this in testimony against them. In other words, this sign, shaking the dust from your sandals, from your feet, is done specifically to show them that you are rejecting. You are saying this in testimony that because they have rejected, you are leaving. Not slinking away, not leaving in shame. You are saying you are not listening to our Lord Jesus Christ. And in testimony against that, we're shaking the dust from our feet. You see, our Lord is training his apostles. They're being proclaimed to teach and preach the truth. Not only if it's convenient or if it's comfortable or certainly if it's popular. As we know, all but one of the apostles was martyred. Why? Because they spoke the truth. And now, after this initial training is complete, if you will, it's time for them to take the next step in their apprenticeship. So the first task of the 12, of course, is to just be with him, right? To sit at the foot of the master, to learn, to absorb everything that our Lord is doing and saying and teaching. And then the second part of the task is to be sent out, right? The word apostle actually comes from a word that means to be sent out and to carry out the same exact works that Jesus himself has been doing. All those things I mentioned, healing, preaching, teaching, casting out demons, all a lot of other miracles. And isn't that the nature of apprenticeship, right? We start from the simple and we move to the complex. Before we can do any job, whether it's a gardening task or some task in our office or whether it's a surgery, whatever it is, the first thing we have to do is to learn that task, to be shown it. And how better to be shown it than by seeing the master do it and say it and teach it. But like any apprentice who is being given the task to go ahead and do that task themselves, there's usually some, maybe a lot, of fear, right? Think of anything that's important that you've ever done for the first time. And I have to think that these apostles probably experienced the same thing, some real fear when Jesus is sending them out. And I think that it's for this reason that we hear this phrase very specifically, that Jesus began to send them out. He didn't just blast them out. He didn't just say, all right, y'all, I've taught you now, just disperse, just go do your thing. No, he began to send them out. In other words, he did it in a very methodical, systematic, and gentle way. He didn't, again, just gather them as a group and say, okay, y'all go. No, as a very wise human and also as God, he knew that they would be somewhat afraid to do this thing by themselves, this thing that Jesus has asked them specifically to do. So it would seem, and some of the spiritual writers in history in the church tell us this, that he probably sat down and met with them in the pairs that he was sending them, right? So not just teaching them as a group, but every pair he's going to send out, I think he probably would have sat with specifically, because each one individually and then each pair had a particular temperament, a particular background, and so on and so forth. And I think that he sat with them to assure them, to maybe fine-tune, maybe let them ask questions, whatever it was. But I think he did it primarily to calm them, to reassure them, and to encourage them, telling them that they would in fact have all the grace that they needed to do what he was asking them to do. And that is the nature of mission. That's the nature of apostolate. Always. God gives us the grace we need to do what he asks us to do. Only then would Jesus have known that they were fully prepared and that he then could send them out. This gospel passage is so full of beautiful meaning for us and encouragement for us in our lives as Christians. It is the very beginning of the authority which Jesus gave to his church by way of these first bishops. The trustworthiness of Jesus' mission is that it comes directly from him. It comes from him and is passed down through the church which he founded. He gave the church his authority. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, he said before he ascended. Now you and I, we too are being trained by Christ, right? Even if we don't realize it, or if we don't recognize and see it in our daily lives, right? When I used to be a skydiving instructor, we had an expression, because you want people who are about to jump out of a perfectly good airplane to get the core information that they need to do it well and to do it safely. And so we had an expression as instructors: give only correct information. Don't elaborate. Don't give a bunch of anecdotes. Don't give a bunch of war stories. Just give the information that's needed to do the task. And that's the same with you and me in our faith. There's all kinds of stuff out there, right? You go on the internet and you read, I mean, there's just tons of stuff. A lot of it is dangerous. A lot of it is distracting. Some of it is downright evil. You and I have to focus on the one thing, capital O, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ and what he taught and the authority he gave his church. We are being trained, my brothers and sisters, in lots of ways. We're trained when we come and worship reverently, beautifully, worthily our Lord in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We're trained whenever we pray in more general ways. We're being trained when we read God's word, sacred scripture, and especially when we read that word in conjunction with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is what our tables and our focus this weekend is all about. Catechesis is the handing on. It's the echoing of what Jesus taught us. And you and I have an obligation to do that. We have an obligation to listen to God's word, to read his sacred tradition, capital T, by way of the Catechism and the magisterial teaching of the church. The Catechism is the church's clear interpretation of the meaning of sacred scripture. Of course we can listen to the Holy Spirit as we read sacred scripture. Of course we're trained up in our own allowing God to speak to us in his word. But if we want to have clarity in what the word actually means, we need to go to the authority. We need to go to the source, which is the Catechism. Because otherwise we have what our Protestant brothers and sisters have, 30,000 different denominations, because everybody gets to decide what scripture means for themselves. No, we don't. God has given us his truth. We are being trained, as I just alluded to, every time we access good, solid Catholic information, whether it's formed.org, which we provide for free here at the parish, and I mean tons of great programming and information and classes and all that. We're being trained every time we come to the parish and we sign up for some class or some devotional learning or whatever it is. We provide a lot of opportunities for all of this. We get training whether we're a child or an adolescent or an adult. We have programs and classes and teaching for all ages in the parish. And like those first apostles, my brothers and sisters, how often do we experience fear when we think about sharing our faith, right? We don't want to stick our head up. We don't want to play whack-a-mole with our own heads. We don't want to get made fun of or mocked or accused of being haters or whatever. Maybe we even experience fear not just in sharing our faith, but in living our faith. Maybe we kind of want to keep it to ourselves, right? We Catholics tend to have a pretty private faith a lot of times. We're afraid to make the sign of the cross in a restaurant. We're afraid to take an advantage when somebody raises an issue about something, maybe a criticism of the church, to say, well, let me tell you about what we really think, right? You and I know in our hearts, and I've said this before, being and living authentically as a Catholic Christian is not for wimps. It's just not. If our lives as Christians are easy and comfortable and we never, you know, we just kind of go about our days, we might want to think about if there's something different we should be doing. But again, just as Jesus trained up these first apostles, he wants to train us. He has left us, again, his church for that purpose. He's left us sacred scripture and all of that I've already mentioned. But he also has left us a very core foundational thing. Things. And those are the sacraments. The sacraments are, as we hear in the Baltimore Catechism, external signs instituted by Christ to give grace. That's their whole purpose. They are the means, the avenue, the conduit of God's grace to us. For example, in today's gospel passage, we hear a clear institution of the sacrament, which we call the anointing of the sick. Amos, in our first reading, didn't think he was able to be a prophet. He said, I'm not a prophet. None of my people are prophets. I'm just a dresser of sycamores, right? He's a tree trimmer. He has an arborist business, among other things. He's a shepherd. He says, how can I be a prophet? I'm nothing. You and I can feel the same way. Well, I can't do it. That's up to y'all bishops and priests and catechists and that's for the Catholic schools and all of that stuff. No, it's for everybody. God gave him his mission, Amos. And Amos obeyed and became a prophet. And we read about him and his mission in sacred scripture to this day because he said yes to that mission. So does that mean that we have to take advantage of all these classes and all this learning and the catechism and scripture and we have to become theologians? No. That's a lot of people are, and that's wonderful, but that's not inherently what's required to be trained and qualified, right? As the old saying goes, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And that is absolutely true. I can attest to that. I can't do what I do of my own accord. I'm nothing. And I mean that sincerely. We can only do what God asks us to do with his grace. So we don't need to be a scholar in order to cooperate with God's mission, though some, as again, do. Amos, and like most of the apostles, God very often calls the simple, right? The humble, the people the world sees as really not that important and certainly not necessarily that smart, right? But it is also true, as I've said before, that we can't give what we don't have. We can't give what we don't have. St. Paul tells us in our second reading, in love he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ. Again, the training we are to do starts and is foundationally just being with him. It is allowing his grace, his love, his mercy to wash over us, It is accepting his love and his mercy fully and completely, saying, Lord, I am all in. I am yours. Holding nothing back whatsoever. It is to be holy. To be with him is not just some kind of sentimental, vague thing. Oh yeah, I'm with God. He's around all the time. I can be with him kind of wherever. Well, yeah, but a lot of people aren't. That's just kind of an excuse for not actually diving deep and being a disciple. It means being with him literally, in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and the opportunities we have. I would love to see this many people at a holy hour when our Lord is exposed in the Blessed Sacrament. Again, we are with him at Mass, in prayer, in sacred reading, in studying the teachings of the Church. Our training is fundamentally intended to open our hearts so that when God's prophets tell the truth, we might be open to it. And as importantly, that we will see and recognize the false prophets, of which there are many. Always have been, and there are today, even in the church. God wants us to be trained up so that we recognize the wolves in sheep's clothing. Again, some of which are in the church. And being open to the truth means obviously being open to truth itself, to our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I might not be literal apostles, but we are most certainly being sent out by our baptism. The second we are baptized, even if it's a little infant, 3 weeks old, at that moment we are given a mission. It is our job in our spiritual journey to learn what that mission is and say yes to that mission, and then to go and do that mission with God's grace. We are called to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, not just in word, but in action. We say in the dismissal of every single Mass during the week or on the weekend, no matter what it is, we say, go forth, the Mass is ended. Go forth. And that's not even as good a language as the original Latin. The dismissal in Latin says, ite, missa, est. Go, you are sent.